This is the Big Biz Show. What's so funny about investing money, you ask?
Play ball.
The Big Biz Show with Russ and Sully hope to answer that. Top-rated insightful financial analysis. If you are looking for insightful financial perspective on key market strategies, keep looking. I told you, this is the Big Biz Show. Hello. This is Russ and Sully.
Hey there, live from Jump Television Studios in sunny San Diego, California. 110 million TV homes strong and 150 radio stations in 175 countries. Big Biz Show's on the air. So great to have you today. Huh. Sully and Rusty Nails here, and we've been visiting the markets a little bit today, and we're noticing that we're looking at a market that's a little bit top-heavy, as Russ likes to call it.
Ooh, yeah.
And it's that, now, that isn't a bad thing necessarily.
Never?
Unless you think in terms of the fact that what goes up must come down.
But when everything's going well, you know something bad's
well,
about to
happen. Well, listen, at the risk of sounding political for a second, I know that our President Donald Trump is pressuring the Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell to cut interest rates.
But there's
no reason to cut interest rates. Why would you cut interest rates? You've got 2% interest rates as it is. Yeah. You've got full employment. You have retailers that are announcing that their revenues are sky high. Every single metric in the economy is going north. Why would you cut interest rates? No. For what reason?
It's pretty low, isn't it?
It's as low as it can get.
Yeah.
This is why. And then the other thing that he said was refinance the debt. Well, the debt's held by us. We're $22 trillion in debt. $17 trillion of that is held by us investors who buy U.S. bonds.
I see.
T-bonds. Uh-huh. Treasury bonds. T-bills.
So if you lowered the rate, what would happen?
You pay people less than you told them you were going to pay them.
Ooh, that sucks.
Yeah, so you're going to loan me $100. I'm going to pay you 20% interest, but I'm going to refinance. I'm only going to pay you 10% interest.
But.
That's exactly right. Can't do that. Mr. President, with respect, I don't think you really understand how the debt thing works. Debt's not bad. Debt isn't bad.
Yeah, really?
We don't owe freaking Chrysler $22 trillion. We owe the American public who invested in your infrastructure a return on investment. That's what you owe.
Wow.
Who cares about debt? I love this thing. Oh, we're in $22 trillion in debt.
It's not like my debt.
No, it's not like your debt.
Like I owe for a house.
It's not like credit card debt.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
What you want to really worry about is a trade imbalance, okay? Hmm. Deficit spending. Spending more than you got. Do you know our revenue base is in the U.S.?
Yeah.
Taxes. Income right. tax. That's the only revenue base. Taxes and tariffs. Mm-hmm. That's it. So if you get X, you can't spend X plus one. You can only spend up to X.
Haven't we been doing that?
No, we spend more than X. We deficit spend. And the trade imbalance, we import more crap in than we send out. That needs to change.
Yeah, yeah.
But the debt thing is a non-issue. I don't understand why we're $22 trillion in debt.
Right.
No, you're not. Do you ever buy a U.S. savings bond?
Oh, yeah.
That means that you're adding to the debt of the U.S. government because you just bought a piece of the debt and now they owe you money.
So how are bonds doing in this wonderful stock market?
Well, bonds have an inverse relationship to interest rates. So as interest rates drop, bonds go up.
Okay. So maybe that's why he wants them.
Well, no. There's no. I don't think he understands.
I don't understand.
The problem.
That's for sure.
Listen, I love his economy. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Hey, listen. We've been in a little bit of a tear recently. One of you viewers in northern, I think it was in Washington, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember where it was from, but
Seattle.
Let us know about a company called West Red Lake Gold Mines.
Sounds beautiful.
Well, because we don't, we don't go out there and hunt people to interview. People tell us, like if we interview an author, it's because they came up to us.
Right.
So one of you told us about this company. I'm loving this mining space we've been talking about recently.
I'll say.
Okay.
I'm digging it.
Gold deposits. gold's in favor now when it wasn't in favor. It's a really hot topic now. John Kontak is the president. I beg your pardon?
Who?
What'd you say, Chris?
Jim.
Oh, Jim's here.
Jim's first.
Yep. I beg your pardon. All right.
Look, we've got a full show. This is called TV.
Well, when they give them to me out of order, I go with them the order that they hand them to me in. Mm-hmm. Okay?
And then?
Beg your pardon. Jim Pettit. Yay. Aben Resources. Okay?
Now, what's this one?
What did I just talk about?
Mining.
What did I just talk about?
More mining.
I said we're going to have a mining show today.
Two miners, you said.
So what happens is people call us and tell us to interview companies.
I got
So we found a couple of mining companies today. Okay, I just got them out of order. Okay, we also have a CBD company.
Oh, I'm ready for that.
But here's the thing.
This guy's got a helicopter.
Here's the theme I'm trying to get to.
Okay.
Gold in Canada is a hot topic. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Gold is a hot topic because gold was out of favor. Hey, Jim, thanks for joining us, first of all. President and CEO of, is it Aben or Abin?
Phone.
Okay.
Oh, we got that too.
Well, I Jim, talked to. And thanks for having me, by the way.
Well, welcome to the program. So here's my question. Long story short, gold has been out of favor. You guys were not the best-looking girl at the ball for a while.
Oh, wow.
And now you are in favor. I mean, listen, you know, guys like you were telling us, and we should have been listening literally a few months ago, because I know that you were telling people, watch what's going to happen with gold. Because every gold person I've talked to pretty much predicted this the last 8 weeks ago, that gold was going to be where it is. You guys were at $1,300 an ounce, and now you're what? We're staring at $1,500 an ounce. You knew this was coming. Why didn't the rest of the world know it was coming, Jim?
Well, you know, if you're patient long enough, you're always going to be right. then that's what gold bugs are like. They talk up gold in the worst markets you can imagine because they're believers. This is I'm an exploration company. We're not mining. We're looking for it. And that's one of the few commodities you can continually to raise money for, even in a bad market.
Okay, so Jim, let's back up for a minute, because educate us here, because we are not gold people, and neither I would argue are, except for the people that told us to call you.
Right.
tell us the difference between mining and exploring. It's not the same thing, right?
Well, yeah, we're the guys that go out and find it.
Okay.
And we do the early stage exploration work. And if you're fortunate enough, you build a deposit and a resource to a point that you can sell to a major. And then he comes in and turns it into a mine.
So
that's our market. It's called the venture market. Yeah. That's why it's the venture market.
Are you higher on the food chain in that gold story?
Then we're, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, is it better to be an explorer? Is it better to be a miner? Is it better to be a guy with a gold royalty?
Well, the best upside you'll get, if you invest in a junior, they're called exploration company, and it has a discovery, that will be the best upside you get in the whole cycle of that company. It could turn into a mine later, but you'll go through 5 to 10 years of flatlining, and then the analyst will put a valuation on it, and here's what it's worth, and that's what the stock should be worth. So your best upside is the early stage. If you hit the right group, the right company, that they have a discovery, if you looked at our chart, you can see what happens every time we hit high grade.
Okay, so I want to talk about your company in a second, but I still want to talk about overall the gold business first.
Can you first go out and start looking anywhere?
Hold on a second.
Okay, I got so many questions here.
There are look, it comes down to experience in this gold business. Yeah. Okay, so and it comes down to the ability to find and resource and snag projects.
Yeah.
It also comes down to money. Okay, and I can tell you as a guy. Listen, I'm general partners in a venture fund. I got a stable of investors. I can tell you right now, there is so much money on the sidelines right now,
just waiting,
looking to put into gold companies.
Yeah,
are you experiencing that? By the way, Jim, am I accurate on that? Because I'm just giving you an opener indicator here. There is so much money on the sidelines right now, looking to put. Yeah. So it's about people, project, and financing with a P.
Financing.
That's right.
Financing.
All right.
Talk
to
with
a P.
With a yeah. Yeah, it is. It's, that's what you do. You look to evaluate the company. Who are the people running it? What's been their background and successes? And, my management team have had lots of successes where you've hit the discovery and sold it to a major. That's always very good for the shareholder.
Okay, so my question for you is what was the tipping point in the last couple of months? I mean, you've seen this come. Look at every gold guy I've talked to said they saw this coming for a year. What was the tipping point for you that you saw?
The election.
Was it the election? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Trump.
No kidding.
Wow.
The day he won, the next day I was on a flight to New York to talk to all the institutional guys I hadn't talked to for a while. And I said, "You wait, this is gonna change things."
No kidding.
And then I go to Frankfurt, I go to London, I go to Toronto, and back home again in Vancouver. But that's what it was. I said, "This is gonna be really good for gold." And it's Trump, it's his uncertainties, right? His you know, chaos.
Well, look at it. We've seen the best economy we've seen in a dozen years. So you have to sort of love them for that. But the other side of it, yeah, the uncertainty has really helped the gold market. By the way, Jim, is it, help me with the pronouncer here. Is it Aben Resources or Aben Resources?
I call it Aben.
Aben Resources, by the way, they are publicly traded. Okay, and their stock symbol, ABNAF, ABNAF here in the U.S., and you can go to abenresources.com and check them out. Will you stay with us just for a second? I'm gonna spend a little more time with you here because
I want to find out about this.
You want to know if you can just drive around.
Well, if they got this, I don't know. How do you know? Maybe it's easier now. Like there's an app. Just drive through the mountains and go, I smell gold.
Exactly.
I see gold.
All right, more of Jim Pettit from Aben Resources. Stock symbol ABNAF, and you can go to abenresources.com. We got all kinds of questions for him. He's a smart guy. I'd like to have him back on the air.
I'd like a sample of his product.
Yeah, all right. Big Biz Show, bigbizshow.com. Stand by, people across America. We'll be back in a second.
He's on my grill.
They voted Ben Bernanke sexiest Fed chairman ever. It's Sully and Russ on the Big Biz Show.
Hey, Big Biz Show, bigbizshow.com. Sully, Rusty Nails. Nationwide, coast to coast, talking to my friend Jim Pettit. Aben Resources Limited. AbenResources.com. They are publicly traded under the stock symbol ABNAF here in the U.S. And if you're watching us somehow on an over-the-top network or digital, up at the TSX Venture Exchange, their stock symbol is ABN. And Advancing Gold Project. Hey, so Russ has got a question for you, Jim, because I think this is I think it's a great question.
Can you just go anywhere and start exploring, or do you have to have the rights to the land?
Yeah, what comes first?
Or do you?
Oh, you got to take claims.
But you wouldn't get a claim before you knew it was there, though.
Yeah.
Why would you? You do your research. You look at. Hang on a second.
All right. You'll get that. Listen, the phone's ringing off the hook over there.
The history, and governments always have geofiles and min files, they're called, and you go search through all that, and prospectors have been out there over decades, rock chip sampling and doing all kinds of stuff, and that's all there. You can find it. But then again, you also go back to the old days when there was a lot of exploration work back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and like that's where I'm at right now. The Northwest.
Oh, this is great. This I'm smelling commerce.
That's right.
This is good.
BC.
Okay, so here, so talk about
the history of it,
Jim. Talk about you guys real quick because so we're not familiar with the mining business ever. Talk about really from soup to nuts when you start to finish a project. What is the best outcome for you, and what are you looking for, and what do you have in the pipeline right now?
Well, we're got a couple of projects, but the main one is up in it's called the Forest Curd, the Golden Triangle, the northwest corner of British Columbia, right up against the Alaskan Panhandle. It's got a history of high grade. There's been a lot of gold pulled out of there the years. The first big cycle was 30-some-odd years ago, and Eskay Creek and Snip Mines were discovered. The Eskay Creek was probably the richest mine in the world in terms of gold and silver. And there's more up there, and the next cycle is just, our third cycle up there now is just, it's kicked into high gear. And it's easy to raise money for it. We came out of the chute and immediately started hitting high grade. Now we're in a stage this year where, you're trying to expand it. You want the whole thing to get larger. It's not just hitting in a couple of holes. And, we're now on our 40th... 20th hole this year. The seasons are short up there. It's 3 months drilling. That's all you got on a yearly basis. So
is there
we're
a
in
sure
our third year and
is there a
stock
sure
will vary from 10 cents to 50 cents in that year.
Is there a surefire way to know when a piece of land's gonna spit out gold? I mean is there technology that'll say
that Geiger counter?
Don't look here but look there? Or is it just the luck of the draw and experience?
No, we've got a lot of tools in our tool belt, but the best are still geochem, which is picking rocks, picking soil samples, and geophysics is fairly new in the scheme of things. And, you know, you're doing various types of geophysics, which is, EM or various types. And they give you the density of the rocks, the change in the rock formations. So that helps you find things because you're looking for spaces.
Yeah.
You're looking for cracks in the rock, fault, that sort of thing.
Jeez.
All right. So, okay. Well, listen, first of all, thanks for coming on. We'd love to have you back. I got an idea for you, by the way. I'm going to call you off the air because I have a great idea for you. And I think
it's a golden idea.
A golden idea. Uh-huh. But really interesting. I love learning about mining. I never, ever, really understood that whole game. And it seems like it's really, really
biggest hunk of gold. I'm going to Google that. I don't know how big it was.
They have spectral photography that you can fly over someplace and it'll tell you it looks more likely to have gold? What's the biggest slice of gold?
103 pounder.
They found 103 pounds.
2 feet wide, 2 feet high.
103 pound.
Hey, that was me in kindergarten.
You found a kindergartner sized piece of gold.
Yeah. Look at that. That's nice, though. Okay. Nice. Gold nugget.
Boy, that's a 3-pounder? All right, pretty good.
What's the biggest? 103 pounds, yeah.
Hey, my good friend Karen Malik is the CEO of Biome Grow, stock symbol BIO, BIOIF here in the States, BIO up in Canada. And this company, in fact, pull up the website for us, Jared, if you would, here, Biome Grow. They call it integrated growing, processing, and sales. And if there's been anyone that's educated us over the last several months about the business of cannabis and CBD, it has been Karam. Karam, good to see you, man. How are you? You have been a busy guy because we haven't had you on the air for this. It's not for not trying. We've tried to have him on the air for a number of times.
Oh,
but
I love
been busy.
The picture.
What's going on with you guys over there? First of all, tell us. Give us an update.
Yeah, we put some of our commercial results out. Q2 came out, finally sharing some revenue, which is good. We only went commercial a few months before that, so I think the big takeaway from our Q2 results were we were able to achieve cash flow positive results in our production facility, our initial one, quicker than I think most people in Canada have. In less than 2 quarters of results, it's making money. And we'll have our subsequent facilities up and running very shortly, which will make money quickly as well. It just shows you can build an efficient platform and not have to wait a year or two to show an investor return.
Boy, that's a big deal because, you see a smile on there.
Yes, very happy to hear good news.
Can I tell you, you talked in the very beginning, and let's talk about this with Biome Grow, about the metric of supply and demand in cannabis. Let's revisit that because I think that is lost on a lot of people here, and that's why this sector or this business vertical and investment vertical is so exciting because there is a supply and demand issue, and it's a real thing. Talk about your philosophy on that for me.
Yeah, it's interesting. At least in a Canadian context, look, the regulations in Canada are harder than anywhere else in the world, so it's hard to get grow product quality and get it out the door. So there's a supply shortage, even though there's only 36 million people in Canada. That'll change over time, but our ability to get the highest quality product in the industry out and charge premium prices for it is why we were able to achieve a positive cash flow footing that quickly. And others will figure out eventually, but it's not easy to do. And having done this many times for some of the largest players before we built our own company, it gives us a bit of a head start than your typical upstart cannabis company.
Yeah, and if you think in terms of, if you really honestly think in terms of that, that's what's driving your market because, again, I think you were one of the people that says, look, we may be federally legal up in Canada, but it's got the population of the size of California. So really, this is a global market that you're dealing with here, and that's part of this thing. It's a long-term global market. Talk about the impacts and what changes are coming afoot globally because I think U.S. is the laggard. I think that, there's Israel, there's Canada, there's a number, I think Australia and New Zealand. I think there's other places that are going to be more lucrative. Where do we stand, or where do you stand in all of those? What are you focusing your efforts on right now?
Yeah. It's also why it's been hard to get a hold of me. It's because a lot of traveling going on. We've got a lot of stuff happening overseas. So, again, look, Canada, because it's federally legal in Canada, not the U.S., we're looked at leaders in terms of how to do things in the cannabis space, unlike the U.S., rightly or wrongly.
Yeah.
So the rest of the world looks at us for thought leadership. Also, we went first. So that allows us to sort of run around. Just us and the Israelis, really, that incredibly make this case that we can run around the world and set up shop in a variety of countries where the real interest is. As a reminder, these are medical markets with hundreds of millions, in some cases billions of people that are coming online now or have already come online.
Yeah.
That's where the real prize is, right? And medical markets have better margins, better IP protection, stickier margins, higher barriers to entry, and that's where it gets really interesting. And hopefully we'll share some of that with you in the coming months.
Well, yeah, we'd love to stay right there. I'm going to keep you over because we haven't talked to you for a while, but I want to go through talk about the long-term impact of medical cannabis because we haven't talked about it. And there's been a number of new stories coming out, by the way, that talk about some of the new sort of cures And another study that came out of Boston University about the
the benefits of just smoking a joint.
I'm trying to think of the seizure thing. It was the seizure benefits.
That'll put those
out
to rest.
Yeah, exactly right.
Restless legs.
Karen Malik is his name. He's the CEO of Biome Grow. They are publicly traded on the stock symbol BIO up in Canada. Mm-hmm. And, of course, BIOIF here in the States. Stand by. More cannabis coming up.
You're born broke and you die broke. They're trying not to take the in-between part too seriously. It's Sully and Russ on the Big Biz Show.
Got some news coming up here in just a second.
Good news?
Oh, yeah.
Fast food?
A physicist built an online calculator that'll tell you how long it'll take to chill your beer.
Wow.
Yeah, that's progress.
This is why we watch this show.
Have that in a second. In the meantime, Karen Malik, CEO of Biome Grow, stock symbol BIO up in Canada, BIOAF here in the U.S., and Biome Grow. .com. You know, some things that people don't realize is that Kerem was literally the first research analyst to publish research on the cannabis sector. He comes right out of the out of the capital management space. Kerem, I don't know if we ever asked you this. What got you out of investment banking, capital formation, capital management, and research into the cannabis space? What was that leap like? Did someone make it? I mean, because you basically legitimized cannabis with one career to the other. I mean, guys like you just don't jump there unless it's an opportunity. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I think what it boiled down to was it was a young industry, and you know, we got tired of helping other people build multi-billion-dollar companies on our advice, and oftentimes not taking your advice and messing things up. So we thought at some point, like, we'll take our best learnings that we learned from helping our clients grow and establish themselves to being the largest companies in space and do it ourselves, and with full control, which we've never had as an outside service provider. And that's what Biome is. Biome is just a collection of taking our best practices and running them through a very efficient sort of platform to generate results for investors.
Well, and obviously, you know, the seeing that type of opportunity for a guy that's been was in the traditional investment banking space, that's an impressive that's an impressive sort of leap. Talk about some of the latest coming out in medical cannabis, because there's been an awful lot of news coming out. I think we are right at a tipping point here where Western medicine is starting to really understand the cannabinoid argument, and there's more studies coming out of major universities across this country anyway that's talking about the benefits of medicinal marijuana and CBD. Talk a little bit about the long-term impact of that for me.
Yeah, sure. I think if you look at it one way, is historically speaking, before Western medicine is what you see, think of it as today, you know, cannabis was a key component in medical pharmacopoeia around Asia, Africa, Europe, and all parts of the world. Wow. And then it just went away, and we're bringing it back, but bringing it back in a sort of a modern context with studies and evidence-based research. Mm-hmm. So it's just reestablishing it. If it treats seizures, it would treat seizures 2,000 years ago, and then people forgot about it, and we're bringing it back as a viable treatment for things like that. Okay. We've done a lot of work on seizures specifically because on pediatric seizures where you don't need THC, just the CBD to do it, and that's one of the low-hanging fruits.
Wow. By the way, I know that you are concentrating on your business model globally and don't have time to, and I wouldn't either, by the way, have time to sort of spend time pontificating on the what ifs. But can I just ask you one last time about the U.S.? Do you think, in your opinion, the U.S. is getting any closer to a federal mandate based upon, I mean, you're at the tip of the spear, you're in the business. What do you think?
Yeah.
I think so. I think with your federal elections coming up, I think you're going to hear a lot of noise about it. The Trump administration is going to use it as a wedge issue to shore up some of his base and some of the people he wouldn't normally get. And it's also a job creator, right? So at the end of the day, if you want to stimulate the economy, it's a good thing to get behind. And you know, as it's often said, it's the economy, stupid.
Couldn't he grab the libertarian vote or the independent vote by supporting it? Do you think he would lose? He'd lose much of his base? That's a really interesting question.
Yeah, because
if he poses as a job creator, particularly in some of the Midwestern states and Southern states, I think the net effect is positive. Instead of, he may lose a few people here and there, but But or even if you go along the lines of CBD and not take the THCs out of things, right, which it isn't psychoactive. There's a lot of medical benefits there. A lot of hemp is being grown right now in Kentucky, for example, right now with Speaker McConnell in the home state. So, there's a lot of ways you can sort of spin it as an economic stimulus and to get over the hump in terms of people that are, socially conservative.
I need to have you on the air as a commentator on some of the radio stuff we do. Hey, Karam, thank you so much. Karam Malik, by the way, fantastic. Biome Grow. Go check him out. Biome with an E. Biome Grow.com.
Beautiful video we get to see, too. That's not quite ready for picking, though. Those things need to turn cloudy.
How do you know this?
I read about it on the internet.
On the interweb. I got some news for you. You like that?
I do.
I'm hungry.
For knowledge.
Here's something that could come up handy this weekend. Coming up. There's a guy in Poland, who's getting his master's in particle physics. Particle physics,
The physics of particles.
He's built an online calculator that tells you exactly how long it'll take to chill your booze.
So, you put a warm beer in the fridge is 32 degrees, how long will it take before the beer is 32 degrees? Excuse me?
That's right.
Something like that?
It's called Chilled Drink Calculator.
Good name for it.
Look it up. Chilled Drink Calculator. It's based on Newton's laws of cooling. Yes, there's a I thought it was Newton's laws of gravity.
Chilled laws.
There's apparently a Newton's laws of grooving. What did I say? Cooling. Sorry.
Chilled?
Sorry.
Okay.
Yes, it's pretty accurate. Yeah. You just have to enter those five things. Here's the five things. Okay.
What's it called again?
It's called Chilled Drink Calculator. It's up there.
Oh my God! Oh, here it comes.
There it is. Got it.
Children.
Click it on. There we go.
Here we go.
Okay, so you have to type in the type of booze: beer, wine, or liquor.
Yeah, I got you.
Okay. The type of container it's in, whether it's in a can, a glass, or bottle, that type of thing. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Where you've been storing it? Like, has it been in room temperature? Is it sitting outside on a hot day?
Okay.
How you're chilling it? Is it in the fridge, the freezer, or is it just in ice water? Ice water chills beer fast. Okay, and then how cold you want to get it?
Yeah,
and then, by the way, there's optimal temperatures it lists out, and once you enter that stuff, it spits out a number. Like if you put a warm can of Bud in the fridge, it'll take 40 minutes to hit an ideal temperature of 43 degrees, or if it's a bottle of champagne, 2 hours and 24 minutes to hit 48 degrees.
Well, I didn't know this that you'd want to drink a stout at a little warmer temperature than you would a lager. Right.
Okay, so it says, what do you want to cool? It says, what do you want to cool? Okay, I want to cool.
You want juices?
A beer. Okay.
A little warmer.
Container.
You're warm.
It's, I'm going to, U.S. tall boy of beer.
I got it.
Where was the drink? Hot summer day. No, it's a room temperature. It's been sitting in Costco.
Like me.
Okay, right, right. Okay. Where do you want to put the drink? I want to put the drink in an ice bath. Okay, that's ice water.
With water swirling around
it. Yes, right, exactly right. And my desired temperature is the optimal for lager, or a pale ale.
Go with
that. 50 degrees. You like
IPA?
That? You like that?
Yeah, I do.
And it's going to take 1 minute. 1 minute! This is why ice baths work. So if you, okay, look at this.
That's great.
Yes, if you take an ice bath.
Yeah.
Water and ice.
Got it.
And a room temperature beer and shove it in there for a minute.
I don't know. That doesn't seem long enough. Well, then the can will be cold, but not the beer.
This is based upon Newton's laws of cooling. Okay?
Where was this guy again?
Poland.
A minute. I don't believe you. Got me all excited. I quit.
Wait, punch in another one.
I'll try it tonight. I can't find a website. That's an article on it. Well, that's good news, though. But I didn't know you could drink beer at different... I mean, you should drink beer at different temperatures. Lagers, ales, stouts.
Did you know that there's a National Toy Hall of Fame?
Toy?
Yeah. Now, did you have toys as a boy?
Yes.
Like, what were your... My favorite toys were Matchbox and Hot Wheels.
Yeah. Yes.
That was my deal. Was that your deal?
Pretty much. Collect them. I'd go with my dad to handyman.
I still have my original Matchbox and Hot Wheels.
Bring them in.
No.
No. I got them.
No, I have all mine.
I have the Boss Hoss Silver Special.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Sounds like a bong.
It was the first, club you could Matchbox lets you join. If you joined, you got the silver Mustang. Special.
Oh, I think I got that one.
Yeah.
I have the Red Baron.
Oh, yeah.
I have the paddy wagon.
The dump truck.
I have the Bathmobile.
I have the ambulance. Did
you, now, the other thing I used to do is I used to build models. Did you ever build models?
Oh, God. Then they had the spare parts when I
heat up
mom's good steak knife and just melt off the...
Yeah, melt off the thing.
Yeah, so
did you ever paint them or just put them together like all like green or whatever?
I'd paint them.
Because you're supposed to paint them first.
I'm not a good painter.
Me neither. I didn't want to wait for the paint to dry.
Like a drip mark and... Oh, jeez.
National Toy Hall of Fame has just announced 12 finalists for this year's Hall of Fame. Here they are.
You know, Rubik's Cube really isn't a toy.
Jenga.
Jenga?
Matchbox cars, baby.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah, I got it.
Care Bears.
Oh, that's terrible.
My Little Pony. Nerf guns. My mom bought me and my cousin Nerf balls because she didn't want us to throw the football in the house.
Right, right.
What could possibly... And we kept, you know, hurting each other with outside. Uh-huh. We'd, like, huck bricks at each other.
Yeah.
So what did we do with the Nerf ball? We dipped it in a bucket of water and froze it.
Oh, those
there
are
going to
kill you.
Yeah.
That'll leave a welt.
That's going to leave a mark.
We used to put nylons over our face and shoot each other with BB guns.
Yeah, do they call that? Armed robbery, if I'm not mistaken.
I know we got
all
in
right.
trouble.
Hey, John Contact's with us. He's going to talk to a little bit about mining from West Red Lake Gold Mines. Looking forward to talking about that.
Is that the place?
I'm telling you, this Canada Gold is making me happy.
All right, stand by.
It is the Big Biz Show. BigBizShow.com. Russ and Sully, nationwide, coast to coast. See you in a second.
Asking the hard-hitting questions you want answers to, but mostly just drifting off and staring blankly at the wall. It's the Big Biz Show with Russ and Sully.
Hey there, live from the Jump Television Studios in sunny San Diego, California. The Big Biz Show is on the air. Rusty, Sully. Nationwide, coast to coast. Hey, I'm very excited to talk to our next guest. His name's John Contact. John Contact is the president of West Red Lake Gold Mines. I'm saying that slowly because I know I'm going to mess it up if I say it too loud. West Red Lake Gold Mines, Inc. One of our viewers got a hold of one of our producers and said, you got to talk to these guys. So here they are. That's how we're talking. That's how we get authors. You know, PR people pitch us on authors and stuff and celebrities and such. And like the fitness lady that was on last week.
West Red Lake.
He has been the president director of this company, West Red Lake Gold Mines, since 2014. Mm-hmm. Before that, he was in the mining business as well. And he's managed publicly traded companies. They are publicly traded under the stock symbol in Canada of RLG, but in the U.S. it's RLGMF. So there you go. And by the way, you can go online to Westlake. I think it's westlakegold.com. Is that accurate? Because I don't have a website here. It's westredlakegold.com.
There it
I beg
is.
Your pardon. I'll put that up on our website. But John, great to talk to you, sir. How are you?
I'm very well, and it's very, very nice to be with you. So
hey, listen, tell us, let's talk about the gold business because you guys are back in fashion now. Nobody liked you for a while, and now gold is now back in business.
1500.
Talk about, first of all, tell us why you think. Is it because all the uncertainty in the U.S., or not the U.S., but the global markets and the financial markets?
Well, there's many reasons, but if I was cut to the quick, I would say it's the... interest rate policy of the Federal Reserve Bank. The federal funds rate was going up by 25 basis points a quarter during the course of 2018. And then the Federal Reserve balked in December of 2018. And then the latest meeting, they actually decreased interest rates, the federal funds rate, by 25 basis points. And they meet again next week, and the federal fund futures are predicting that we should expect another decrease in the federal funds rate by another 25 basis points. So, the cost of money is everything. And to some extent, gold is a AAA zero coupon bond. So when interest rate policy is turning south, ultimately resulting in negative real interest rates, if you take the base interest rates of the central banks and subtract the inflation rate, and you end up in negative interest rate territory. Generally speaking, historically, that's good for gold. And that's kind of the thing that happened during the summer of 2019. And that's why, as you're referencing, it kind of turned on the dime where we were in sort of no man's land, and now we're back in favor as an asset class.
Well, it certainly seems like, you know, I mean, $1,500 an ounce, you said, Rusty, today?
$1,501 last year.
I mean, look at it. I mean, and I know guys like you were predicting that gold was going to go up a while ago. I mean, we should have all listened to you 6 weeks ago when you guys were trading at $1,300 or something like that.
No!
And give me a, just before, because I do want to talk about your company, West Red Lake Gold Mines, but talk real quickly, one more. What's your prognostication for gold? Uncertainty is still going to abound, especially politically in this country, as well as financially on the global markets. Can we expect to see some resistance in gold prices, or do you think this is kind of good times for gold companies?
Well, if you talk to a technical analyst, the price of gold went from $1,300 to $1,500 during the course of the summer, and it was kind of a step up. So there's questions now, where is the support level? It's been bouncing off 1,500 for the last couple of days. Some technical analysts would say they're support at 1480. Some would say they're support at 1430. But if one was asked to me, to ask me what's my next 24 months, I would say a higher price in gold. And at the end of the day, it really comes down to debt. The world is awash in debt. The total debt is about $250 trillion. The U.S. federal government alone is getting to $22, $23 trillion. Student loan debt in the U.S. alone.
Well, but wait, let me push back on that for a minute. Because first of all, auto loan debt's higher is a bigger problem than student loan debt. Because first of all, there's only 20% of the population are participating in college. So I'm going to push back on that. The other thing is the $22 trillion, $17 trillion of that is held by U.S. citizens in the form of T-bills, T-bonds, and T-securities and T-notes. However, I like your analysis prior to that, saying that if you look at the analytical side of things and you look at the technical side of things, gold isn't a great, we're pre-peak on gold right now. Do you think we're going to see days where gold hits $2,000 an ounce, John?
Well, and you're measuring that in U.S. dollars. I mean, if you take it in Canadian dollar terms or almost any other currency other than the U.S. dollar, and for the last 10 years, we've been in a strong U.S. dollar period. So if you take it in Canadian dollar terms, it already is at historic levels. So the question is, when does it get to historic levels in U.S. dollar terms, as it was at $1,900 in the fall of 2011. And all the problems that were with us during the financial crisis of 2008-09, and when gold was peaking in the fall of 2011, are still with us. They're actually worse now or bigger now, measured in debt dollars, for example. So we think that the structural issues that support a gold bull market are with us and are going to be with us really for the rest of
I'm going to make John our gold expert. Mm-hmm. Talk to a guy that can talk to it economically like I can. Talk about West Red Lake Gold. What, you guys are an exploration company, correct? So you're not a miner, you're an explorer. That's a difference. Talk about that.
Well, what we have done as an experienced management team, and I'm part of that management team as the president, our executive chairman, Tom Meredith, and Ken Guy, our exploration manager. This is the third time we've done this in Ontario Gold Exploration and Development Companies. And what we've done to monetize the assets is we explore and develop the property and make them valuable to Canadian gold producers. And we've done this in the past. And we've sold assets to Osisko Mining and McEwen Mining.
My goodness.
Two of the blue chip players, Sean Rosen at Osisko and Rob McEwen at McEwen Mining. So what we've been able to do is to show the Canadian mining community that we know how to develop. They are looking at the Red Lake Complex of Goldcorp, now Newmont Goldcorp, et cetera, and we're in Red Lake, Ontario, and we're joined right now. Our prior assets were in Timmins, Ontario, but now we have an asset in Red Lake, Ontario, another prolific mining camp in Northern Ontario. We're joint ventured with Newmont Goldcorp, which is the largest gold producer in the world. We have 60% of the project and we operate. And we are developing, as we have in the past, to make these deposits valuable to the Canadian gold producing community. And the way that we monetize the asset is we sell to a Canadian gold producer and everyone gets upgraded from working to paper. And that's how we...
Well, John, I'll tell you. I'd love to have you back. I really would. I think it's an interesting company. We're out of time this time, but I'll tell you what. WestRedLakeGold.com. They are publicly traded under RLGMF, and here in the U.S. and RLGF in Canada. Boy, what a smart guy.
I want to go there.
To gold. I do too.
It's beautiful.
John, come on back with us, pal. Nice job.
Get a canoe.
Yeah, looks like canoe country, doesn't it?
It does.
It is.
You can do it.
Chris Yannick is our director, Jared Coleman, our assistant director. Curtis Matovich, our floor director, our floor cameraman, our composer, our editor, and our keeper of keys, and from whom all blessings flow. Rusty Nails, RussIsFunny.com, because
RussIsFatAndBald.com was taken.
Catch me everywhere at BigBizShow.com and Sully Speaks. We'll see you tomorrow. Good night.